We're trying to collect sayings of the initiates to put in a book called The Sayings of the Initiates. So if you have any sayings, you want to send them in.
Funny one?
Anyway, be there.
Riley came out, excuse me, came out with one the other day. I believe you were the one that said it to me. Said so and so was talking about loving your enemies. Said you have to take good care of your enemies. Remember, you made them. Was it you? Or am I quoting you exactly?
No, another one I like though. Life is wonderful if you pay attention.
All right.
The enemy thing, I think that can't move the door.
Mm-hmm. Oh, you said it in prayer group that day, I remember that. Well, Riley took us to the prayer group meeting that morning, and I was feeling such a fog from driving. Thank you, Bill, for coming.
Well, this is what we're trying to collect, some sayings of the initiates, and put it in a little booklet called Sayings of the Initiates. Kind of stimulate the initiate to think. Because this is where you can contribute your own awareness. You know. Now, everyone has an initiate chart? The new initiates?
No.
Could we?
We didn't pass them out tonight.
Yeah, we brought some. We want to give it out to. So let them all. Yes. Let him get quiet for us.
Don't you think the regular would be alright?
Yeah, the regular would be alright. Yeah, the regular would be alright. No, that's the regular size.
We need one up here.
Yeah. Oh, they're beautiful for Christmas cards. Yeah. Gosh. Yeah, you're sure capturing them. Well, the rose above the lotus. I've seen a dish not too long ago. I think we have a question Someone is going to ask a question and would like to clear it up. You want to go ahead, Bill, and ask the question?
Yes, now, I don't know, I like to be the only one that's interested in this, but I wondered what it had meant. Paul, the apostle, in writing to the various churches, he often exhorted the people to treat the emissary that was being sent, or emissaries, as the case may be, with a holy kiss.
Yes.
And I've never seen anything like this in the church, and I wonder what that means.
That's the holy breath.
Bill, many times, we haven't so far here, but you go up and you just involuntarily do a kriya.
Yeah. Go forward and you'll automatically feel the urge to greet the person, and your hands will be around him, and then automatically you'll do the whole one registration up and down, and you and him or her will automatically line up in chakra. The chakras will start, you'll quiver, and you can actually feel the quivering in the different centers, and they will feel it. This is what they call the an embrace, coming together.
An embrace.
So, the holy kiss would be the meshing of the holy breath, you see, between the two poles, between the two beings in the spinal column. So that is why initiates greet each other in an embrace. This is the reason why they embrace each other. So, till they get the feeling and the assurance that this is what we are trying to do, align each other. More and more as the advanced initiates come into the group with the others, they are actually performing an alignment.
You don't necessarily have to hug very tightly or anything. I mean, sometimes you just reach out, you know, even just to touch hands or something like that, and it'll just happen.
It's not unusual at all for me to have the urge to, very strong urge to put my hands on someone.
Yeah.
It's not unusual at all.
No, this is actually what it's leading to. It's the alignment. See, sometimes you find in families meet each other, they embrace. But actually in a spiritual family, or initiates, it's the alignment of the two field forces and the chakras, because both parties are actually God in action via the holy breath. From the time they're initiated, they're locked into the master current. And by lining up with each other, by embracing each other, this current tends to line up. So an advanced one lines up a less advanced one. So otherwise, how is he going to make it? You take a long time doing the meditation. See, that Paul was aware of this, because in that way, others were speeded up to get that inner awakening by the alignment of contact. You see, it's not just to shake hand or to bow to each other, but the mere bringing of each other to the embrace triggered the energy off to raise it up. This is similar between the husband and wife in sitting in the different in the Indian posture of lining up. You have the same principle going on. For those who didn't have the chart, there are some words I'd like you to put down under the chart there. You see the first line under the basic self.
To the left.
You under the first word resentment, you write the eyes. Yeah, write the word eyes on it.
Underneath
it. Under the word criticism, write mouth. And pride. It's ears. Ears.
Pride.
Intolerance is the nostrils. I have that other chart. It should be in my, I think it's back behind you, in a gray paper bag. Unless we just leave it in the house.
That chart that rolled up in a
paper bag?
No. The throat. That's right, throat.
Fear is the throat.
Fear is the throat.
Throat.
Right. Throat, yeah.
No, that's not a chart.
Yeah. Yes. Dishonesty in the hands.
And the heart is hypocrisy.
Hypocrisy is the heart. The hands. Huh?
Huh?
Yeah, it should. One is hands and one is arms. The jealousy is the
arms are possessive, aren't they? Mm-hmm.
We'll go get the chart. Have them all there. After we call them back again. We supposed to have pin them down and we didn't write them in. Yeah, these are never negative reactions in these areas. We didn't take it into the house last night. We didn't take it into the house last night. I thought we had brought it in. There's a green bag and a brown. Well, here it is, right. Let's start again so we'll get it all clear up again now. On the resentments, you write the word eyes. On the criticism, write the word mouth. On the pride, ears. On the intolerance, the nose. On the dishonesty, heart. On the fear, throat. Well, this will change his heart.
Fear is
throat. Throat. Dishonesty is the heart. And on the fear, throat. On the hypocrisy, kidney. On the self-pity, lungs. On the guilt, sex organs. On the flattery, liver. On the jealous hands. On the possessive arms. On the worry rectum.
some of that foolishness that they all get into now.
Yeah. Well, there's one word misspelled there, is Nityananda. It should be A-N-A-N-D-A.
There are a few others misspelled. Up in here, you have to excuse us.
Is it 5 o'clock in the morning?
Yeah.
Yeah, between about 2 and 5 o'clock in the morning, after a long week. N-I-T-Y-N-A-N.
N-I-T-Y-A-N-A-N.
Yeah.
D-A. It's at the bottom of the chart.
Swami Nityananda. Nityananda is misspelled.
Right after the A-N, another A-N.
Yeah, that's right. And there's some others up here misspelled. Right now I've forgotten where they are.
Yes?
Can we have your Texas address to put right on it?
All right. 7, 2, 2 and a half. That's 7221 half. South. Bois-dark. B-O-I-S. It's a French word. Bois. D-apostrophe A-R-C. Ark of the woods. Or wooded ark. Or arch. Tyler, Texas. Zip code is 75701.
75701.
Did you spell it in the left part? Yeah. B-O-I-S. Wa. And D-apostrophe A-R-C. So it's called Wadak. Or Bodark. Yeah, 75701. The phone number is area code 214-597-0264.
And that rings at our house in the office and all. We have a detached extension. And we're listed also under Adana Lay, Margaret H. Berry Chiropractic, and All Faith Fellowship, and Herb Shop. So we really get our money here.
What about the gallery?
No, we don't have a phone listing for that. Now my story garden school.
What do you want to discuss tonight is the initiates weekly get together, because this seems to be most of the conditions that come up when groups grow, and sometimes all can't get together in one place at one night, and it's inconvenience to a home too. So if the groups are meeting in two groups or in two periods of the week, this is more ideal, because some people can't go every at the same time. They may have prior commitments. So in this way, it's better that they have two meetings in two different areas to round out getting together. But you should get together once a month, at least, all the initiates, for a general meditation. Because that amplified force really builds up tremendously in the atmosphere. Now, normally most of the initiate meditations go on a Saturday night, because you sleep late Sunday morning. And most initiates work late Saturday, so the weekend is ideal for most initiate meditation. Outside of that, they have another day during the week. And also they have a meditation night, some of them, to bring in new people who are interested to discuss some of the effects of the master relationship. And since our motto is, don't convert me, convert yourself, I can't prevent them from going to church. This is available to them too, you see, and that is the family day for children too. They bring the children and they can squall and run around, but meditation goes on within that short brief time. In other words, children are always welcome into the meditation. We don't have no problem with them. In fact, if you can't meditate with a child around you, then you will never learn to meditate.
Well, a lot of these little children will put you to shame, I tell you.
Yes.
They'll sit down there and be just so quiet. They can certainly sit cross-legged.
Well, that takes care of that. Any questions on that particular score? Yes?
I understand by a few of the groups that we're not supposed to meditate with others that are not initiates. Is that right?
No, that's not true.
That's what I figured.
An initiate is the light in the world as long he's in the world, because he's linked to the master current, which is what initiation is for, to recycle the energy. So when he meditates by himself first, which he must do, then when two or three are gathered in my name, which is group meditation, then wherever he goes with non-initiates, he's bringing the light. So I meditate four different places, one in the toilet, one by myself, one with the group, and one in all the churches I can find. So that's not...
Thank you.
No, there's no such thing as exclusivism in meditation. Here is a good confirmation. There's a man and his wife. They were initiated. But you know, as I say, sometimes you take initiation, it's just some other point of contact, and it doesn't, because we don't see miracles, we don't see every kind of fantastic phenomena occurring. So the initiate life seems kind of dreary. You have to get up in the morning and do your holy breath, repeat the holy name, look at it inside, and that's it. Well, to them, that was all.
See no evil, hear no evil,
right.
No evil monkeys.
So to them, after a while, it was just that. Anyway, the girl's uncle died, and they were called to go to attend the funeral. When they arrived in the area, everyone in the home, all the relatives were in a ditto, they were all in upset, in remorse, sorrowful. And they decided to sit down and meditate as initiates. And all of a sudden, the whole room became bright with light. And they heard within themselves, the whole group heard within themselves, only because two initiates are here, the light of God is present. And they all were looking, who were the two initiates in the group? They didn't know who the two initiates were. Yes. The Master's presence are always with us, with the initiate, and the only thing that inhibits them from crystallizing or direct materialization, remember they're committed to teachers by vision, by revelation, by dream, and by direct materialization, not by mediumship or talking through other people. This is their commitment. The only reason why they don't come clearly up into the materialization is because the eyes are not steady enough and it wavers too much. That's why this technique is to aid the eyes from quivering. The purpose behind it is to prevent the eyeballs from quivering till you can learn to do without it, and then as the eyes stay stationary, and then you can begin to see the radiant form of the master building up. Otherwise, you it's like a TV set. If that snow on the screen is blowing all the time, you know, you can't get the picture in. The picture's not going to come in. It's like a ghost-like effect. It's like a out of focus. Equally true, the eyes, being the windows of the soul, must steady itself in order for the radiant form of the masters to line up themselves. We're dealing with electronics, but we're dealing with life force at the same time. It's not magic. It's actual laws of creation that we're dealing with. So they are committed with those four conditions.
What would be beyond your child's room and the smell of strong scent of rose? It was the night that you had been
issued. Well, this is what the master's presence is. Yes. When a master comes, he gives you three ways to indicate his presence. One, a flash of light of blue, like a pearl. It builds up. Two, the odor of roses. And three, he crystallizes in the room. Animals usually see them first. And in fact, the animal is so happy when the animal sees them. The animal goes into all kind of antics. Yes?
Can you spell the holy name? Yeah, we both had different spelling, but we weren't sure. They both sounded the same, but we weren't sure. You know.
Well, we have a non-initiate in the room, and that way we have to, I'll talk afterwards, those two parties that don't know how to pronounce it or spell it, see me after the meditation. Alright. Okay. Huh? Now, group meditation, apart from your own personal meditation as initiates, should be focused upon the involvement with the world around you, raising the level of the world around you when you get together in group meditation as initiates. In your own personal meditation, your own level of consciousness is raised. This is what we call the rajasic, the centering of the self. Getting in the group is called the sattvic, necessary for the continuity of life. So in a group meditation, you're not only centering on yourself at times, but you have the group healing, but every program should be centered to raise the level of society around you. The thought waves should be for their raising, because you want to let this light radiate into their consciousness, to raise them. Now you have the tapes in which I hope the initiates will gradually start to break it down between themselves and start discussions, and then catalog questions surrounding the tapes, so that when I come back next time, you really got a barrage. Now you can shoot me down with real questions of what we covered in the tapes, because that is where the real practice is, in the tape, and what it involves in the chart, because from the questions and from the tape, you're going to find it relating to the chart. In the chart, study the chart, study the tapes, and this is the anatomy of your spiritual self in the sequence it is. The basic self is here already. It functions in that order. You see a person acting up in a resentful manner. If you're patient and observant, you'll see the next breakdown. They'll start the process of criticism. Then, as they keep expounding their wonderful wisdom, you see them breaking down in terms of pride. And they go through this because this is like a pair of eyes and nose and so forth. This is the normal waking. Now the lower line and the downward movement, you notice it's called a conscious contact. It's not called a conscious contact. It's a conscience. You never hear of a guilty conscience. It's a guilty conscience. A person suffers from a guilty conscience. So it's a conscious contact with God all the time, in a downward movement or an upward movement. So from the graph, you can actually see how the individual would go if he's aggravated in time to the next level of breakdown, or his progress. In the upward graph, as he starts making progress, you will start to see the terms he will use, the expressions, the gestures, you know, and you can actually prognosticate his development, because this is coming forward. So you have a perfect guide or way to trace out, and even to observe yourself, you know exactly what is the next level you're going to, or what is the next level that's being enhanced in yourself, or what level will be torn down if you start going in the opposite direction. It's like a ladder. At the halfway mark, you know where it all go up. So from watching the chart and observing it, and observing your own body communication and other people's body communications, you start to get a reading. You begin to see them as they are. Now, the first indication that a person comes to you, he's all torn up. And if you talk to him to console him, he starts to take stock of himself. He starts to admire himself. He starts to appreciate himself there. That's the first indication, the first breakthrough. Now, if you're persistent to help that person to the next level, then you go from admiration to
patience.
Because he's going to accept himself more now. Life is not such a bad thing as it was before. The gestures, the behavior pattern is starting to come to the surface. So be patient with him or her. Coax him along with more love. Don't overflood his brain with too much information. Then he will go to the next level. Before you know it, you are, in a sense, healing your fellow man by the gradual observation of his behavior. You have something tangible to work, to relate to all the time. And you're seeing it in yourself, because you would have to pass through the certain very steps and changes. And how you master those steps and changes is what make you a master. It is the mastering of these steps that puts you in the master. And you see the chart is involving karma, which is time. It's always the involvement with time. It's never outside of time. And it goes up from matter acting on matter, right away up to the timeless state. So you have the origin of creation, you have the involvement, and you have the emergence. The behavior patterns of how to emerge. The holy breath, which is the initiation, is that little cogwheel revolving in front of the man's nose. You'll notice it has both 16 and 19 little dots around it, like a cogwheel, representing the this here, this little wheel, is a manifest miniaturization form of this one. This is the 35 day recycling. This is magnified to fit this. But when you're holy breath, you are recycling. So you are doing exactly what this is supposed to do. You're recycling it. So one registration equals 365 days. You have something tangible to work with. So basically, your meditation is not a complicated thing. The meditation is based on the holy breath, the holy name, seeing the light, listening to the current. But you have a graph of the progress. You have a graph of the involvement and a graph of the return or the origin of oneself. Now, for your consolation, if you are making progress, let us take the words of the masters themselves, how they measure spiritual progress. So when a person says he's not making progress, let me decide that. spiritual progress, Sri Yukteswar told Yogananda, is measured. You want to write this down? Spiritual progress, I think our sister here can type it up and give it out in little everybody. Spiritual progress is measured by the degree of the joy or the peace or the bliss felt and maintained after you finish meditating. And how long it stays with you in a conscious state. How long you can seem to hold on to that feeling, that degree of intensity. In some cases you'll find it's 10 minutes, 15 minutes, 20 minutes, an hour, 2 hours, 3 hours, 8 hours, 20 hours, 24 hours, you have arrived. In other words, it's never going to go away from you now. You have reached the full capacity in a 24-hour period of the bliss. So it cycles itself from there on 24 hours a day all the time. Now, this is the purpose why Jesus said, the peace I give, not the man Jesus, now the Christ principle in the meditative life, the peace that seems to come to the surface from the alignment to the Christ in you, is not the peace that the world gives. The peace the world gives is no argument, no confrontation. The peace the Christ gives is from within the biological function of the cells, that the cells themselves start to generate an intensified serenity, a glow, a suspension, a normal transformation of the texture, where that beingness now looks like the baby, like a lamb. The skin starts to change. There's a beautiness, there's a glow, a radiance, an intensified warmth about it. Then you know this is the real peace of the cells, the real peace coming from the soul. All is set in suspension. There's no restlessness. It's crystallized to the surface. This is the peace of the Christ coming to the surface, permeating right through into the atomic core. The world outside can't give that peace. It's only accomplished by the gradual intensification each day in the daily meditative practice of recycling the holy breath. Then you have a tangible way to vouch for it. So I don't judge a man or measure a person's growth by how much miracles he can do or what he can say to me. I have a different way to measure it. I measure it from the texture, the glow, the gesture, the communication of beingness. That tells me what degree of spirituality is in. Like Anand Swami, when they nailed his leg to the foot, his leg to the ground, he was so deep in God that he never felt anything. You see? These are the things we're interested in. Those who have never heard of Anand Swami, let me relate that incident. It's the Swami that initiated myself and my wife into Swamihood. And he went to his teacher and said to his teacher, I don't see any lights, I don't hear any sounds, and I don't know if I'm making any progress. I've been meditating since I was a boy when you initiated me at the age of 14. Now I'm 65. It's only out of respect for you I kept it up. That's tremendous respect for a person. But the teacher said to him, all right, how long you think you can meditate? And he's without fidgeting. That's the point, without fidgeting. So he played it safe by saying 2.5 hours. So the teacher says, show me. A very practical man, you know. When you're talking about these things, they want action. Show me. The Swami sat down and he started to meditate. After 1 hour, the teacher took a nail and a hammer and nailed the leg to the floor and waited. And when he opened his eyes, he said to his teacher, you see, teacher, I don't see anything, I don't hear anything. So the teacher said to him, look at your leg. When he looked at his leg, it was nailed to the ground. But then he realized what had happened. He couldn't get it off. So, but there was no pain. So the teacher says, I'll take it out, I'll heal you, but I'll leave the scar as a remembrance to you of how deep in God you are. How deep the spiritual, what depth of spiritual growth you are in. The actual change of the cells, the actual remodeling of this frame from the Christ. The new body taking over. The new expression taking over. We have the outward symptoms and the inner symptoms to go by. So it is measured by what occurs when you come out of your meditation. Look for that. Every time you pray in a group, or pray by yourself, or meditate by yourself, or with a group, no matter where it is, don't judge the group because they may be less aware of the truth, or they may not be initiates. The important thing is what you feel after, how you hold on to it, how intense that becomes, because that intensification is like a dynamo. It sends off waves. It is that same carrier frequency. God's love is permeating through the room. God's peace is permeated through the room. That's where the action is.
Yeah. I've heard it said or read or something that after meditation is wise not to speak to anybody else. It's true.
Well, I'm glad you brought that up. Initiates should know that by now. That when you finish your group meditation, you should take off and go home and carry your peace with you. You don't, the socializing should be done before. You should be able to carry this home with you. Because that's the whole purpose of getting together, to enhance it. To magnify it, to project it into the atmosphere necessary for life for others. But for your own inner harmony, don't puncture the balloon after you blow it up. Talking, that's Babylon now, that pulls us down. That's the Babylon that pulls us down. After we have inflated this consciousness, after we have expanded it and brought it back to its pristine state, and capable of being conscious in the environment. The moment we start using speech, it starts letting out the flow. There's a sudden drop down. Yes, Bill.
I have heard it recommended in self-practice. Will we be perhaps attending a seminar and trying to learn something? We have meditation every morning before breakfast. At ARE, when they sort of legal sale healing and all. And the meditation will begin at 7:30 in the morning, and they discourage the inner talk before the morning meditation.
This is true in all the ashrams. Silence is observed.
This was a little shocking for me when I arrived there the first morning, you know, and spoke to some of the people who didn't speak to me. It is good, I mean, to get your morning devotional before going
enough. Yes. A friend of ours is an Indian man. He owns a yoga school. He doesn't speak before 10 o'clock. And everything, even his wife, she knows. He talks to her in sign language from the time he gets up till 10 o'clock. And at 10 o'clock, he breaks his silence. And you can be the governor or the president, he's not going to break it from nobody. It doesn't matter who you are, he's not breaking the silence before 10 o'clock. In other words, this imposed conscious effort to harness one's energy is vitally important. You see, that's the commitment here. We must, to some degree, impose it. Now, going into seclusion, there are times when I have to go into seclusion. There are times when I go into inner silence, where I don't want to hear the phone or anything, in order to gather the forces. Each one of us have need of that in our growth. There is a time when each one of you will have to take off a few hours or half a day or something to really shut yourself off and listen and be in the total silence. And live even a day in total silence without any relationship to the other. Because there is where the inner strength is. But when you come back out and that frequency is around you and is built up and starts permeating the environment, then you have something to offer the environment. The first thing we'll recognize it is plants or animals. They'll recognize this frequency. Then human beings begin to feel it after.
Yogananda said that to start talking and socializing after meditation is like milking a cow and getting the milk in the bucket and then start punching holes in it and letting it all out before you get it, before you pile it up to use it.
We need that weekly or periodical recharging of our cells with the group and by ourselves in order to grow. And if we pump it up too fast, it's like planting the seed and digging up to see if it's growing. If we do that too soon in the early growth, then we are actually holding ourselves back. So group meditation has a value. Now, the socializing is important, the exchanging of ideas are important, the discussion of views are important. But to the latter part of the meditation or the getting together should be tapered off into meditation and silence. In other words, get over all the actual functions of speech first. Speech is silver, silence is golden. So if you want to get rid of the silver first before you get carry home the gold, then this is the best practice. Let the first session of your group meditation hash out its react. And then finally taper off into the inner meditation, the inner practice, and the silence. And the inner bond of exchange of love. Because what it can be greater when you're ready to leave, give off of this love to each other as you depart. Excuse me for 1 second. I don't like to praise groups because they may think they're favorites and that I'm making a favoritism, but my wife and I can tell you vouch that this group radiates love. Of all the groups that we've been around, love is radiating. This is an essential factor in the whole process. How much love comes out of the group indicates the awareness of the group.
And no egotism then.
Right. But I don't like to do that because then it tends to, but I'm just pointing out what is really involved in initiate life. Yes. No, this young lady had it.
In the life of an
initiate. Yes, there's a time for fasting. Like Solomon says, a time and a place for everything.
Is that a certain extension of the fast, or is that an individual time?
That's an individual thing. Mm-hmm. But there are periods when we do go for a fast, in the recycling periods.
We're going to go into that more
as we come back, because you see, you can't rush the initiate life. Initiate is not a person who is in a hurry. The first example of an initiate is patience. In other words, the hurry I go, the behinder I get. Okay.
Would my going home slow, not being able to attend the group meditation, affect my
group? No, sir. The one thing the initiate must remember: out of sight is not out of mind, and the masters don't forsake you. You may forsake them, but they can't forsake you. They are committed to the end of time. Though heaven and earth may pass away, not one jot nor tittle of my word will pass away. And lo, I am with you always to the end of the world. That's quite a commitment. Incarnation after incarnation after incarnation. You want to write it down there, sister?
If you find yourself separated from God, you know the sister who needs
you. Right. That's a good one. He didn't. Now, that chant, listen, listen to my heart song, Don't think it's you telling him to listen to your heart song. It's God telling you to listen to his heart song that is vibrating within your heart center. You must listen to the heart center. And it will never forsake you, it will never forget you. But we have a tendency to think it's we who are telling God to listen to our heart song, as if he wouldn't be listening to us in the first place. It's God who is telling us to listen to the heart song. It's his heart song in the first place. And it doesn't forget us and it doesn't forsake us. Now, who is in my temple? The doors open by themselves. That's another important thing to remember. We don't open the doors. We don't open the centers by ourselves. The centers are open for us within. And the lights go on by themselves. So you see, an initiate is in different category altogether. The moment he's initiated, his main job is to practice devotion and leave the rest to the Master and God. We do 25% of the work, which is devotion. They'll do 25% of the work, that is opening up the centers for us. And God will do the other 50%, give us the opportunity to demonstrate it. See? So our job is to generate the devotion. Any more questions before we end it yet? The what? The healing group can be a part of the initiate meditation, because we all need the healing vibration, we all need help in the healing, and the initiates should be on the healing list, because everyone in the group needs it. So also your friends need it, so it should not be a separate, but if you want to make it a separate night, that's a different thing. But I think when you get together, it should be always there. Yeah.
I don't know whether it's best or not, but I'll try it. In the healing group that isn't of initiates, I belong to one. I don't know, maybe they're initiates in it, but as far as I know, it's not the way you describe it. Should you just go along?
Well, this morning is a good example. I was asked many times to pray for others, and people were asking as proxy. And I did it simple, what is done. Divine will flowing through me will dissolve and eliminate all those conditions that interfere with the normal and harmonious flow of the individual. I don't think of the name of the person, because that tends to isolate the flow. The person who is acting as the channel already has that thought in mind. The person who is in need, if they're the one sitting in the chair, they are already taking into consideration. So divine will flowing through me will dissolve and eliminate all those conditions that interfere with the normal and harmonious flow of the individual. Then I go to the second line. Divine will flowing through me will strengthen and rebuild all those conditions that are necessary for the harmonious flow of the individual. It has been said, it is done. So be it. Om seven times. That's all I do. Because as an initiate, that is what we're supposed to do. Regardless of how many come and sit down there and how many are in need, we are setting in alliance and in balance two forces, the negative and the positive. We are a channel. As long as we are working with specific force and a specific opportunity, then this is channeling. Now, it doesn't matter if you go into a non-initiate group and pray, and you ask you to pray. At least this will raise their consciousness to understand something more.
We say our own when we're acting
out. Yeah. Yeah. Any questions?
And you said the one, the breaking down one also needs rebuild. So in each healing prayer,
you would need someone to say each.
In the initiate healing,
yes.
This is lined up. That's why the initiate healing is, as initiates, you get together and work it. Now, in a place where there are non-initiates and you're asked to say something or pray for the person, then as you know your own specific charge, use that prayer and repeat it. All right, let's say my specific charge is to dissolve, and I'm in a room where there are non-initiates and they ask me to pray for them. I will be praying like this: divine will flowing through me will dissolve. There is no ifs or buts. This I know is my specific charge. This is what I know the master has lined me up with. I'm not fighting him. He knows exactly, it's his will that I be lined up that way at the point of initiation. Will dissolve all those conditions that interfere. You don't want to know what the conditions are, all, that's all, that interfere with the normal and harmonious flow of the individual. Yes.
Please correct me if I'm wrong.
All right.
Is it not true that we cannot tell when someone is well and when they aren't anyway?
All right.
And some of the things that happen to them is like a spanking that you give a child sometimes when it's really necessary. It's a necessary part of his development that he has.
Right.
And I have a tendency to pray for people to be blessed with that they have need of at this time, and I don't pretend to know what they have,
right,
even myself.
Right. So that is the divine will flowing through you, automatically satisfying what is there. Now, bear this in mind. All the problems that confront us only come to pass, but not to stay. All the problems that come to confront us only come to pass, but not to stay.
That phrase, "this too shall pass away," keep it in my head.
So keep that in mind all the time, both for yourself and your fellow initiate and brother in the world. These things come to pass, but not to stay. And with that freedom of emergence, you can work now with love. You got something to work. No. You'll be sometime 3-4 months, sometime 5-6 months, some in different case. But don't go criticizing yourself or think because it breaks down earlier than others that is, that you're worse or you're a sinner. That's not the intention of the whole thing.
Yeah. How often can we know how frequently we're in this case?
Well, that is good, you see. You know, one time I said, "How soon, Master, now that I'm initiated, I'll be God realized?"
We're glad you did.
So now I got a letter back. He says, "As soon as you raise your devotion."
Could I answer you?
Yeah.
You're
That's a good one for the initiate. That's a good slave to you. You don't know what's your name. Is there anything you want to say before love, before we start meditation? Anything?
Well, before we start meditation, we'll talk about her coming back.
Okay. Well, it seems that the love is so strong, and everyone wanted to buy a bus and drive all the way down to Tyler. But I think the Lord is willing to do the reverse. Send us back, and if it works out, that we'll be back, I think, what week would it be?
Well, as I understand it, Christmas Eve is on Friday and Christmas Day on Saturday. Well, we'll be here, well, I guess getting here sometimes Friday, Friday a week before Christmas Eve.
That's the week before Christmas.
See, and so then you can
that would be the week before.